All right, rapid recap of UConn's 98-45 blowout over Syracuse. They advanced to the 32nd straight Sweet 16 in program history. There's two different places we can start. We can start individually or we can start collectively. Which one shall we go to?
I feel like you have to start individually. Like, it is the full story of the game, and it's AT Fudge. I mean, like, she literally could not miss, it felt like, for most of the first half.
Yeah. 34 points, 8 made threes, both tying career highs in her last game at Gamble Pavilion. I feel like we talked about earlier in the season how we weren't getting these explosive performances from her like we did early in her career, but that had been replaced by consistency. Turns out that they're still in there. I think it was 26 points in the first half. Like you said, she couldn't miss. And it wasn't like five threes in a row. It was just boom, 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 like just consistent firepower.
Yeah, it was just, like, it felt like every time she shot the ball, it was going in, and there was really nothing the other team could do about it, and it's kind of that explosiveness. Like you said, we haven't really seen this season, but when she plays like that, just, like, I mean, Syracuse obviously couldn't touch them, but really anyone, I can't see, like, coming close when she's shooting like that with everything else they had collectively going today.
But it wasn't just Fudd with a big night and everyone else chipping in. It was one of the best first halves that I can remember in a long time. Might have been one of the best first halves I've ever seen from UConn. Gino said afterwards that there's been others at this level, but he doesn't know if he can get much better. It felt like it was a big lead when it was 22-8, and then they score 31 unanswered points, makes the 30-0 run that the men had against Illinois. Puts it in comparison, I guess, but Syracuse went over 10 minutes without scoring. Pretty much the second I realized that they were pitching a shutout in the second quarter, they scored and ruined that.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I kind of thought the Syracuse might not score at all in the second quarter, but 31 to nothing in a run is just insane. Especially for, like, you're not even in the, like, round of 64 against a 16 seed that, like, okay, you wouldn't expect it, but maybe it could happen. Like, this is a good Syracuse team, right? Like, the 9 seed, they beat some teams like Louisville, I think, in the ACC. Or maybe it was Duke, I don't know. But
I think everyone beat Duke this
year. Yeah. So, like, this is a good team in the fact that UConn was able to just honestly make it look like they were playing a 16 seed in that first half was insane.
Yeah, they only beat UTSA by 38. They were up 53 at halftime. I think what's most impressive is that's not even the biggest halftime lead in program history. I don't even think it's number two. So I don't know exactly where it ranks, but the second half, not quite as great. They tied, so they finished with a 53-point win. I don't know how much stock I can put into that when the first half was so good. You're not going to be able to carry that for three quarters, four quarters, but if you put in a half like that against anyone in the country, it's not going to matter what you do in the other two quarters.
Yeah, exactly. And Gino kind of said in the press conference that they pulled off some of the press and things like that in the second half intentionally, and that just, like, negatively affected other parts of their game because they, like, feed off of that so much. But agreed. Like, if you put together that type of a half against anyone in the country, it doesn't matter if it's Syracuse or whoever you're playing. If you get to Phoenix, like, I don't think anyone's really going to stand a chance.
Yeah. Normally on these, we might do a player of the game spotlight. I think that one's a little obvious today. Do you have maybe a runner-up to the player of the game today?
I would go with Blanca just because she followed up what was a really good first-round performance with a really solid performance in the second round. Again, 18 points. She was 7-9 from the floor, 4 assists. Like, she just contributed in a lot of different ways defensively as well. And I think it's good to see her string back-to-back good tournament games together because there's going to come a point, I'm sure, when they need her to have a big game like that.
Next, head to Fort Worth. I'm getting into some warm sun. I asked Blanca what she knows about Texas, and her answer was, not much, but it's warmer than here. So, very fair. They're going to play North Carolina, the 4 seed. Chalk holds. That game doesn't remotely worry me. It's not going to be this level, but I don't think it's going to be a particularly close contest.
Yeah, I just think UConn has too many weapons for a North Carolina team that at times struggles to score the basketball. They've got a few good pieces, but, like, I think UConn is just likely going to overwhelm them.
Yeah, I would agree. We will have full breakdown of the game, full breakdown of Fort Worth coming later this week on the full podcast, but that'll do it for the first rapid recap of the NCAA tournament. Hoping that we have four more, but we'll try and do them after every game. So thanks for listening, and we will be back at some point during the week.